from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Forte. Today I have a very special guest, someone who's going to join me to talk about the problem of child witches in Africa, as well as the conflation of religion and superstition in that region. I wanted to ask someone who has had their feet on the ground here, because, you know, I'm an isolated blogger, so I want to make sure that I'm not just saying false information. And with this in mind, I invited Leo Igwe to come on the show. He is a former representative of the International Humanist and Ethical Union, and he also created the Nigerian Humanist Movement. Thank you for joining me, Leo.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The first thing I want to discuss is that you're currently in Germany studying witchcraft accusation. Is that correct? This is the title of the degree that you're studying?
Yes, actually, the degree is a doctoral degree, but is by research, and the topic of my research is witchcraft accusation in Africa, and I'm going to do my field work in Ghana.
How long have you actually been tackling the issue of child witchcraft and witchcraft accusation in Africa?
I think I've been doing that actively, let's say, in the past maybe a decade, or let's say a decade and a half, but the issue of witchcraft, let's say problem, witchcraft belief, is something that has been with me all my life. So I grew up in a witch-believing community, and I grew up in a community where witchcraft accusation was rampant, and is still very rampant, and is causing a lot of problems, between families, within families. And as I was growing up, I felt that because of what I saw, what I experienced as a young person, I felt that devoting much of my time to understanding this phenomenon and helping, my society to address it.
How do generally people respond, like say the average population, to witchcraft? Like is it just either you believe in it firmly or you kind of still support it, or is it sort of like divided in terms of belief?
Well, it is always difficult to measure this belief, because there isn't something you can put on somebody's head or whatever to gauge to what extent the person believes. You only can measure that maybe based on manifestation. But what is the reaction of the majority of population? Fear. So immediately you mention it, people don't want to get involved. A few people will tell you, oh, well, I'm not sure whether it exists or not, but I don't want to be associated with it. Yeah, so, but majority or most people in my country or my continent, they believe in it. They believe, that's what they call the reality. They say witchcraft exists. Witchcraft is real. You know, this is something you hear, many people say. That reality is something that people have embraced, and they find it difficult to really question. They find it difficult to really listen to any other viewpoint that is critical, of the phenomenon.
How did you yourself break free? Were you always a disbeliever? Because, I mean, I understand that there's a portion of people who are just not easily suckered into this. Were you one of those, or did you witness something that sort of like drove you to want to know more? Or how did you lose your belief if you live in a place where primarily there's fear? Why are you not fearful?
Yeah, well, I will say that as a child, I was fearful because I was taught to be fearful. I was told to be fearful. You know, like a child, you will believe your parents.
Right.
You will follow the instructions of your parents. So, and as you are growing up, you will just be breaking away from those beliefs if you want. Like I said, it's a matter of choice. You know, as I was growing up, I was questioning some of the things my parents told me. What happened was that, like I said, I grew up in a community where they believe in witchcraft. You know, it's poisoning relationships. People are beating up their parents. People are abandoning their children. People are torturing, maltreating their children, maltreating anybody suspected, anybody accused, of witchcraft. So, but more than that, I think when I was 10 years, two of my cousins came to our house, our home in the village, and they beat my father into a coma. And I could not understand what happened. So I was asking my father. My father was telling me, because actually, he got revived. The matter went to court and all that. But as I was growing up, I was asking my father, tell me what happened. What did you do to merit this kind of beating and all that? Oh, you're still too young to know. You're still too young to know. Now, as I was growing up, no, at a point, I sat my father down. I told her, can you tell me exactly what happened? Oh, there was suspicion that my cousins wanted to use my mother for rituals. You know, they went to a voodoo priest and wanted to invoke my mother. And eventually the thing did not work. It backfired and they fainted. And the rumor got to him and he went and confronted them and wanted to know why they wanted to use my mother for rituals. And they were angry. They now came to our home and they told my father, they insisted my father should tell them who informed him that they wanted to use my mother for ritual. My father bluntly refused and they beat him into a coma. So, and look, my father was fortunate. He lived afterwards. Many people do not survive. And I've asked myself, for what? In fact, I told my father, look, you would have ignored them. Nobody can use magic or witchcraft to kill your wife or to kill your children. It is superstition. But I'm just letting you know how much a problem this belief is and how entrenched it is. So that is why I said, look, as I was growing up and I discovered that witchcraft belief is superstitious and that the problems we're having in Africa, Europe had it centuries ago and I've said goodbye to it. So because of the problems they were causing in communities, it caused in my own family, it caused in other families, people are beating up, people have their parents beating up. I said, look, I have to understand this thing. And as I was reading and researching, I found out that what was happening in my community, in my country, in my continent, took place in Europe centuries ago. I said, what? You get it? And lo and behold, nobody is ready to listen. Nobody is ready to listen to the critical voice. I said, okay, I'm going to do my bit. Yes, even if I'm the lonely voice in the wilderness, I will continue to speak. Hopefully the change will come. But I must tell you, change is coming. But it's not coming as fast as I would love it because I wouldn't like this belief to be associated, you know, with my country or my continent in the next few decades.
That's going to be tough, Leo. You must have read this. I don't know if you did. The Save the Children International released a report on the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I did a show about this last time, and they had a number of recommendations about what to do. And one of those recommendations was that they needed to work with religious leaders now and educate them. Now, I've been reading your articles and what your opinion of religion is. And I want to ask you this question. Do you think that's a good idea, or does it legitimize an institution that's just going to do this regardless of what we tell them?
Look, the thing there is this. We cannot do this alone. And we cannot always make people understand that for you to stop the witch hunting, you have to be an atheist. We just have to understand that it's not a message many people will embrace easily. But let's think about it this way. When witch hunting stopped in Europe, the people that fought and got the violent campaign that brought it to an end were religious people. Even some of them were priests. They spoke out against it. So as far as I am concerned, I'm not ready to tell somebody you have to be an atheist, you have to be a free thinker. For me, that's your business. But whatever you do in the name of your belief, you are going to be held responsible, period. So the issue is this, I'm ready to work with anybody, and I think that people should be, you know, we will try and work with religious people or religious organizations and keep making them understand that this is part of the problems. Our society is suffering as a result of superstition. Yes, I am for us engaging and working with them.
But it does seem a little bit strange, though, for instance, when, you know, like, for instance, you were mentioning witch hunts and how that came to an end. And there's an interesting, like, the Renaissance itself, part of the reason for the Renaissance is because of the humanist movement that began as a religious movement. But the important thing to remember about that movement is that the humanists at the time, like, let's say Leonardo da Vinci, one of the early humanists, also a vegetarian, interestingly enough, their type of religious belief, for instance, is very different from the religious beliefs of the people that they had fought. I mean, it might as well have been night and day if you really compare the two. And here's the thing that I worry about. For instance, okay, let's work with churches, let's work with this problem. But if the belief really does stem from the intersection of old, ancient superstitious beliefs in witchcraft that weren't always harmful, and now with introduced Christianity and their violent rhetoric when it comes to that very practice, how is that supposed to be solved? Doesn't that make the situation worse?
No. Okay, yeah. Like I said, I agree with you. Look, we have to understand that this is a complex and complicated phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, we also have to understand that moving from faith to reason, people questioning their faith is always a very slow, difficult, and challenging enterprise for many people. But what we're saying is that we cannot wait. People are dying as I'm talking to you here now. People are languishing in camps, in Ghana, in Burkina Faso, in Congo. Children are dying on the streets. Are we going to wait till people in Congo become atheists and freethinkers before we move into Congo to help these children? My answer is no. Are we going to wait for the people in Burkina Faso to abandon all their religions, for them to start protecting women and not driving them away to die and languish in makeshift camps? My answer is no. What I'm saying is this. Let us again draw lessons again from the fact that the church, religious organizations in medieval era, they were part of this. But people also spoke out. Many priests are skeptics. Many bishops are skeptics.
So where are they? Where are they right now in this conversation? Where are they? Why are they so silent?
I agree it is problematic. I agree that the church is part of the problem. But what I'm saying is this. We cannot just walk alone. We should try and find common grounds. Yes, we should strive. I know it's difficult. Why I'm saying this is this. Because there are few skeptics who are in the open in Africa. There are few people who are ready to apply their skepticism, you know, openly, expressly. Now, but there are also people who are skeptics, but who also hold religious beliefs. So now, what we have to do is that because this is a situation where superstition, irrational belief, is causing serious harm, we all have to go all out and engage people on this platform and make sure that we keep reiterating the fact that here is part of that problem skeptics have been talking about. Here is a part of the problem humans have been talking about. Let's start from there. We will not win this war in one day. We will not win this war in one year. We will not win this war in one century. Europe did not do that. So I am also thinking that we are not just going to accomplish that automatically in Africa. It's going to take us some time. But the most important thing is that let us keep moving. Let us remain focused. Let us not retreat. Because at the end of it all, history is on our side. Let's make the necessary sacrifice, particularly at this point in time. Life is at stake. The life of disabled people is at stake. We should not stay on the table arguing whether we should engage with religious people or not. Where we can engage them and save lives, please, let's engage them and save lives.
Speaking of engaging religious people and the silence that's coming from a lot of religious institutions, which we know that their supposed humanitarian stance, for instance, should be against this, but there's been silence. And here's my theory about where the silence may come from. Perhaps you can shed some light on this. I actually believe that in Africa right now, it's a battleground for religious ideology, Islam and Christianity specifically. I think the reason these religious leaders are not speaking is because they want to be popular, and to speak out against this would be unpopular, and they would lose followers in what they believe is sort of like the last bastion of religious growth.
Yes.
So what we're asking is religious people to work against their interest in terms of spreading themselves in order to save people's lives, and this is not working. Should we change the message? I don't understand how we can start really appealing to these higher religious figures that are just so silent.
It's like when we're talking about the issue of the use of condom, the position of the church and all that. Even when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, the rights of homosexuals and the religious organization. We know that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, these were issues that many people thought that no religious group will ever respect the rights of homosexuals. But what is the situation today? Many of them are switching. Many of them are changing. Many of them are dragging their feet away. What I'm saying is this. They cannot lead this campaign. They will follow. Yes. Because our values, the values of critical thinking and reason, has always prepared skeptically oriented people to lead. So what I'm saying is this. You see, we are trying to discuss this as if we have to wait for them. No. We have to lead. They will follow. Yes. I don't know how long it will take them to follow. I don't know the pace. It's left for them. But unless we think we are not convinced of our mission, unless we're not convinced of our purpose, if we are convinced, let us lead. That is just like what happened when it comes to the rights of gay people. Few people came out, they spoke out. They thought that the churches will not get around to start supporting them. Many churches are supporting that now. So that is the same thing that will also happen in this case. So let us not just stay on the table debating, will they follow us? Will they listen to us? Will they join their voices with us? No, let us go all out. At the United Nations, at the Commonwealth, international institutions, international programs, name and shame them. Tell them directly at their face, you are part of this problem. I want to tell you that many people will start backing away. It may not lead to the closure of all churches or religious organizations. It will not. But I want to tell you that at least, like I said, the lives of these children who are, you know, will be saved. The lives of these women will be saved. Then, superstition, I know it will be chipping away the block of superstition. Like I said, it will take time. But because we are having in our hands a humanitarian crisis, we are having in our hands a very terrible and atrocious campaign going on. We should not spare any time debating and discussing. We should lead. Name and shame the religious groups that are involved so that they will follow at their pace. Period.
Now, what do you think about the fact that if you look at the Renaissance and some of the violence around that time, it is a direct consequence of enlightened movements, because what happens is that people disagree, we're pushed to extremes. I mean, in those times, those extremes lead to violence. So in a sense, the price that we pay for enlightenment is often this kind of violence. Is that not a paradox? You know, like, are we not facing more, temporarily at least, probably more of this kind of atrocity as we get more involved?
Look, then what is alternative? What is the alternative? The alternative is to sit by and watch these people kill, maim, and destroy fellow human beings in the name of their misconceptions and superstitions. It has a price. And I want us to know that we aren't going to achieve this on a platter of gold, or we're not going to achieve this just like a miracle. No. We are going to pay some price. The price they paid during the Enlightenment is what we are enjoying today. And I want to tell you that everybody, including the religious institutions, are still looking back to that era of Enlightenment, even without asking themselves, what role did my religious group or religious organization or my church play? No. Yeah. I want to tell you that, like, now, fighting witchcraft accusations in Africa is a dangerous undertaking. Like, you must have read about the attack by Helen Okpabio and her church members in Nigeria when we went to organize a seminar.
There was a video about it. I think I posted it in 2009, although I will be reposting it for the interview.
Good.
I believe that Africa right now is where we should be talking, having the religion, like the conversation about the poison of religion. Because, I mean, I see it all the time. Like, you had an article even about, like, Islam in Mali, where kids are being forced to go begging on the streets in order to, yep. And these madrasas are just raking in this money. They are exploiting children in a very real way. And child witchcraft in Africa, preachers are getting rich exploiting these children. This is literally the exploitation of children under the guise of religion. And I mean, no one's yes. having this conversation in a mainstream way.
Yes, I want you to understand that there are still many religious people who are outraged by this. But you see, many of them can't speak out because of the taboo in terms of challenging and criticizing religious leaders. That's why I said the skeptical oriented individuals who are ready to go open and public with a skeptical voice, skeptical perspective, they should move in, because there are religious people, if I should qualify them, some enlightened religious people who will support them and tell you, look, I don't subscribe to that idea of religion. I was going through our communities doing public enlightenment in Nigeria, and I met people, some of them Mormons, some of them Jehovah's Witness, some of them one religion or the other, who came out openly and said, look, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe in God and all that, but this is outrageous. Well, we will always say, yes, the idea of God and the idea of witches, they're the same, they're virtually the same thing. Yes, again, what I'm saying is this, what anybody does If people commit atrocity in the name of their belief, whether believe in God or believe in their country or believe in witchy or whatever wizard or believe in the new age or believe in UFOs, whatever you believe in, if you commit atrocities, you should be held accountable. And that such beliefs should be challenged, should be critically evaluated. So freedom of expression, critical thinking, free press, those are things that will help us reason the population out. Because we're talking about people, many of them are not educated. Some of them, what they have known all their life is religious indoctrination. So they are trapped. So we should reach out to these people. There was something I used to tell friends. We have that capacity to exercise what I call rational compassion. Compassion that only rationally oriented people can exercise. Look, witchcraft believers, they need help. And it is only we, the skeptics, we critically oriented people, who can go all out and provide that help. Yes, we did it, and we call it enlightenment. And we can do it again. I'm deeply convinced, and I think that we should not spare any moment doing whatever we can to ignite the light again, so that generations unborn will also look back to this era and said, yes, that was an era that things started changing. That was an era that started protecting our children. That was an era that started, you know, protecting our mothers. And they will be grateful. Our names may not be mentioned. It's not necessary. But what is important is that we must have defined an era. We must have ignited light where people cause darkness. Where people are reaping and mining people's despair and gullibility.
I think with any movement, the important thing, it maybe it seems arbitrary, but is always to have like a catchy name. I think it's time for the African Enlightenment. Like there, I don't know if that's the word because I just came up with it and it's probably terrible. Mm-hmm. But you are like those early adopters of Enlightenment where you're just trying to spread. I mean, you yourself founded the Nigerian Humanist Movement undoubtedly with that purpose in mind. Like it is your aim to spread critical thinking and reason, it seems to me, in the continent. And you seem to be taking a pretty broad approach because from all the articles that I've been reading, you've traveled quite a bit.
Yes, I've been. I've been to so many countries. I've been to Senegal, Gambia, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Burkina Faso, Malawi, South Africa, Congo, not Congo Democratic Republic, the Congo, and Kenya, Uganda, and all that. I think I've been to over 13, 14 African countries.
And of those places, where would you say attention should be focused first? Or is it just sort of like a generally broad, it's bad everywhere?
Well, you see, in these countries, I think I spent sometimes few days or few weeks. So it's difficult for me to tell you actually what's the situation there. But I must tell you one thing. I couldn't see much the difference between these countries because of the pattern, the reasoning pattern, the pattern of thinking. Mm-hmm. Yes. But there are places where we have some very extreme situations. Yes. Like, for instance, in Central African Republic, even as I'm talking to you now, people are still in jail as a result of witchcraft because witchcraft is recognized by the law. In Malawi, until recently, women, at least 50 women, were in jail. They were accused of witchcraft by children, and they were sentenced and imprisoned. But through the campaign we launched there, we have a small humanist group there. They launched a campaign, and we were able to secure the release of over 50 women, just wrongfully convicted and imprisoned because of witchcraft. In Malawi, they have the belief that women can use witchcraft planes to transport children, get them initiated, and all that, and all that. Some children will come to court, confess, or made to say certain things, indicting these women, and they will be sent to jail, even in Nigeria. So what we're saying there is this. This is a general problem. For me, it's a social disease. It's a tragic situation. We need to start engaging it. We should not wait for children to be driven to the streets as you know, has been the case, let's say, in Democratic Republic of Congo. We will not wait for women to be jailed, as was the case recently in Malawi. We will not wait for children to be tortured, burnt, acid poured on them, as was the case in Nigeria. We should not also wait and delay in speaking out against witch hunters and witch doctors, like Helen Ukpabio of Nigeria and other pastors. So we should all go all out to expose witch hunters. Yes. Today, we have the internet. We never had it in the past. In other words, we can send out information. We can draw attention of the world to this problem. Today, we're talking about a situation whereby recently a child was tortured to death. An African child was tortured to death in the UK.
There are a number of them, in fact. I think Scotland Yard has investigated almost 100 cases, and that's just of stuff that's been reported.
Good. And I want to say that that is just the tip of the iceberg. Because witchcraft-related abuses are done behind the walls. And that is why I said the world should not keep quiet over this. Because anywhere we have gotten 100 cases, for me, multiply it by another 100, and another 100, and another 100. Because you are talking about belief that is so entrenched, and that people express, you know, or themselves, or try to use it as a weapon of abuse in so many ways we may not even track down, even using the instruments of our contemporary legal system. So that is why I said there's need for us to go all out, to draw attention of the world, to keep educating, to keep reorienting the minds of people. I know it's difficult, but it's possible.
Most of the listeners are in their car, they're at work, they're working out, and you know, they hear these words and they're like, yeah, I really want to do something. What can they do now? What's the best thing for Joe Sixpack living in the U.S. who's like, this is a serious problem. How can they get involved?
Now, first of all, we have to identify organizations that are doing some great job. Of course, the humanist organizations are doing a great job. Well, there are some people also, for one reason or the other, they don't want to support the humanist organizations. Yes, they may want to support organizations like Stepping Stone, which is a secular group. You know, Stepping Stone is based in the UK, you know, and they have, you know, partners in Nigeria. They're training people, rescuing children.
It's very direct, a kind of like, you give them money, we'll go directly to, you know, trying to rescue these kids.
Definitely.
Like, just no doubt about it.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that is number one. Number two, put this on your blog. Like you said, if you put witchcraft accusation in Africa, witch hunting in Africa, you get a lot of information. But many people, many websites, many people are always interested in what is happening in their own county, in their own country, what is affecting their own immediate community. Without knowing that today, we are living in a global world. So what is, many of these things we are talking about are things that affect us directly and indirectly. So it is important that people develop interest in knowing what is going on with regard to witchcraft accusation in Central African Republic. People can send letters. You can issue press release. Many people are working with international organizations who avoid this problem because they think that, you know, this cultural issue, they want to respect Africans and they don't want to get involved. They don't want Africans to look up to them or start saying, oh, these colonialists, these imperialists have come again. They want to impose their own thinking pattern on us and all that. So sometimes they allow these atrocious practices, they allow this violent campaign, the language superstition-based abuses to continue even when they work with international organizations that can help us achieve something positively. So people are not just staying in their houses. Many of them are involved in one institution or the other. Let them raise such issues with the organizations. Let them make donations if they can. If they think that they can volunteer their time and energy, they can also contact us. We can say, okay, help us in this country. Get to that country. Help us with training. So we just need to know what people can do. I will now direct them to wherever they can help us address the problem.
How much longer do you have left in your doctoral thesis, by the way? Because I got to tell you, Leo, I love your passion. I think that one of the ways is to have you going over to secular conferences and talking about this stuff, because I really think you would ignite the fire under some people's asses that definitely need to be ignited. So let me tell you, how much longer are you stuck in academia?
Well, in July, I was at the James Randi conference in Las Vegas.
Oh, you were TAM?
Yes, I was TAM this year.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yes, I spoke at TAM. And in May, I also spoke at the Conference of the Skeptics here in Berlin and the Conference of the Atheists in Cologne. Then I just came back from the UK. I spoke at a conference at the University of Lancaster. And next week, I'll be in Denmark to discuss with an NGO that is working to set up a shelter in Nigeria and all that. So I am not trapped as such. But what happens is that by next year, I'll be going to Ghana. So I'll maintain a low profile as I try to gather information and collect data and all that. Then after that, I'll be back to write up and submit. So my academic program is just a way to leverage my campaign. Because sometimes you find yourself doing this work, you know, occasionally, honestly, the thing gets so overwhelming. Yeah. And that was why when this university, a professor here invited me to come over, I said, fine. And I have been doing a lot of reading about witch hunting in Europe and buying a lot of books and deepening my knowledge and understanding. And I'm getting bolder. I'm more fired now to do the work than even I was, because I'm now reading a lot in terms of what happened here. And I'm thinking that we are wasting time. We don't need, there's no argument on this case. There's no argument. The children have to be saved. They have to be rehabilitated. They have to be rescued. I don't need anybody who wants to argue should tell me why we should spend the slightest minute arguing on this case. We just have to move in. And if what I can use these few years is to mobilize and get people to understand how much a problem we have and get people to also support it in one way or the other, then I must tell you, I must have spent these 3 years, you know, very well. So I just have around 3 years to go, but there are 3 years I will also be traveling back and forth, granting interviews, speaking at conferences, and doing whatever I can to make sure that that difference we can make in the lives of the children and women in Africa, many of them are religious people. We skeptics, we free thinkers, do not shy away from making that difference. That is my mission. That is my goal.
I hope you achieve that goal, Leo, and I hope that you're going to come back on the show periodically to talk about this issue, because, you know, this is something that I've been fighting to get other people in the secular world to really recognize, because even though people might recognize it, I just don't think that it has the kind of gravity that it should. And you know, you talk about, like, we just need to get moving on this shit, like, no more just, you know, sitting in our chairs talking about it. It's time for action. And I can understand your frustration. You're reading European history and you're like, this is just happening. This is the same crap. But at least in a sense, you have a bit of a manual for how to sort of like fix this problem. So we could get it done quicker.
Yes, we can. We have all. So we should not wait. You know, we should not say, how are we going to get the churches along? Start moving and keep telling them, come along. Either you come along or history will leave you behind. And I want to tell you that people will start coming along. There are some church leaders today who are speaking against it. Of course, you know there's a contradiction there. You get it? But, you know, I'm not here to, whenever I'm engaging church people in something positive, in a social work, I told them, we have other battles to fight. We can sort that out. But when it comes to a particular issue, like now, respecting the rights, let's say, of homosexuals, I work with church groups. I work with pro, but I know also we might disagree on some other issues like demonic possessions and all that. So when it comes to this one now, I tell them, if you support this, come along. Do you get it? Then I know that with time, the society will gradually be moving away. I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm not here to impose it on them. But when it comes to these clear cases of abuses as a result of superstition, irrationalism, religious extremism, and fundamentalism, we gonna lead, and we will always tell them, can you join us? Can you come up? Can you engage us? We are moving. We are going to save lives. We are going to stand with humanity. We cannot fail them. If we fail and betray them, then I think that is the worst thing that could happen to us, not just as people who have struggled over the years to get ourselves out of this dogma and superstition, and also those who know the harm that an individual or society can suffer as a result of dogma and superstitious beliefs.
Well, Leo, thank you for joining me. And I have to say, I'm endlessly impressed by your work. You are one of the people that I think will help create this African enlightenment, which I think is just necessary. And you know what? It would benefit the rest of humanity as well. I just feel like as if we, you know, so much in this country, or at least in the West, everybody just ignores Africa. And, you know, I think we do that at our own detriment. These are our people. This is our ancestral home. We need to treat it with a little bit more respect. And we need to make sure that the human beings that are living there live in safety and security.
Yeah. But another thing we also have to add is this. Many of these superstitions are also making their way again back to these Western countries. So that is why our remaining in the comforts of our homes and countries and communities is really not the best way. Like now, Helen Okpabio wanted to organize a crusade or whatever she called it on witchcraft deliverance and all that in the U.S., in Texas.
Didn't somebody put a stop to that? Like, I remember there was a petition or something.
Yes, I mobilized and worked with some of friends in the U.S. and petitions we have sent, we campaigned and all that and all that. And she could not make it. Yes. And what we're trying to do now is to get people to understand, those of them in the West to understand that today, this is not just happening there. You know, there's a tendency to say, oh, yeah, that's African problem. You know, and when you say it's African problem, you know, it's a problem you can ignore. The world can continue. No, we have seen it happen in the UK. And I want to tell you that in Canada, in the US, we cannot be totally sure that some abuses are not happening in the name of superstition or imported superstition and traditions from Africa. So that is why we all must be concerned, not just for the sake of Africa, but also for the sake of enlightenment throughout the world.
Thank you for joining me, Leo, and we look forward to more work from you and for having you again on the show, which I hope you'll do.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte. Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.